you that you almost skip laughing and you just start crying? Because I'm about there right now.
We're all freaks on the inside.
An Acquired Taste.
It's an Acquired Taste podcast. The podcast for people who are classy with just the right amount of skank, just like Meghan Markle.
Like that.
Who was very ridiculed for wearing an off-the-shoulder gown to the Queen's birthday party.
She made her first debut on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
And her shoulders were showing.
If that's what disappoints them, I would be kicked out of that family quicker than anyone.
She also showed some ankle, so she is a tart.
How dare you?
A rebel.
What's up? So I'm Bethany. I'm here with Sam.
Hello.
And Kathleen.
Bonjour.
Thanks again for listening to an Acquired Taste podcast. You guys are awesome. So we're going to be giving some advice today. We got some listener emails we want to read through, but there's some housekeeping we have to go through first.
Get the broom.
Yes. So first and foremost, we are back on Twitter.
Yay!
We have no longer been suspended. We are of age now to use Twitter.
Yes, we are.
So thank you, Twitter, for bringing us back up. Sorry that we accidentally changed our birthday, so it made us 2 years old and you thought that we were juveniles.
At Acquired Podcast, if you're not already following.
Yes, please. Second thing, what does the thing say?
Plastic straws.
Plastic straws.
Yes, we got an amazing email from our listener, Maria. Because last week we talked about how we were trying to get rid of plastic straws because they're not great for the environment.
They are the devil.
Yes. And Maria tells us what to do. She's so nice about it.
So if you didn't catch up already, it's just that they're not recyclable. So they do bad things to the ocean once they get in there. And that's highly probable. So
problematic.
Bethany.
Yeah.
It is probable that they will be problematic.
Oh my God, I was just going to say that.
Bethany and I mentioned how we cut up the straws, but Maria, and this is halfway into the email because she starts with writing a whole bunch of lovely things, including how she had paper straws at her wedding. Maria, I love that. So she picks up to say, one thing I wanted to note is the two of you mentioned cutting up straws in hopes that this would help. Now, please, 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 please do not take this as a negative criticism because I love you guys and I love that you brought this up. But while I know you guys have that the best of intentions, I think cutting up straws may be just as problematic as tiny pieces of plastic, such as bottle caps and broken pieces, can easily slip through cracks, quite literally, of the waste management process and make their way into the environment. So basically, while we're trying to do good by not letting them get stuck in
seagulls' nose and turtles' nose,
we're making them all the more easy to get in the water. I don't know what to do now.
So I guess what to do is
cut it long ways.
Well, I think maybe cut it in half.
Okay.
Or quarters.
And then just slice it once on one side?
But more than anything, just don't use them.
Because then it can't get through the ocean strainer.
So yeah. Like maybe just go without a straw or bring your own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like worried about, I have a full set of straws at my apartment.
I do too. I kind of wonder if.
Do we melt them?
I don't. That's not good for the ozone.
That's so bad for the ozone, Samantha.
Yeah, I think that we're screwed. Have you ever heard of like...
Dear Google.
We need to make art. That's the only possible thing. We need to use these to make picture frames. Someone get the uncooked macaroni.
Have you ever heard of... I don't remember what they're called, but it's when all of these rats get their tails stuck together and just become one being.
The human centipede?
Tails stuck together. What are they called? Please don't give me pictures. I just want to know the name. Rat kings. They're called rat kings.
Never heard of this before.
It's horrifying. Don't look it up. But it's when a bunch of rats will all get their tails stuck together. So then they just start moving as one unit. It's horrifying. But I feel like that's what we need to do with our straws.
Okay.
Like hook them all together, tie them all together. So they just become this giant lump that no bird could swallow and no turtle could eat.
Okay. And then the record-breaking turtle comes out from the sea and swallows
it. It's terrible. I don't know, but don't use plastic straws. Go to, what's it, giveasip.org, and they will send you metal straws, which is pretty great.
I'm reading this article now about how to dispose of plastic straws, and there's no answers.
Because they're the worst. They're the worst. It's like
Stop
styrofoam.
Stop making them.
Yeah, just don't.
They're not recyclable.
Ugh. Right, that's the problem.
All right.
Should we move forward? Because this is so...
I will get to the bottom of this next podcast.
Okay. One more quick thing. Can I just give a shout out to all of our listeners who have tiny homes?
Yes.
Tiny homes.
last episode, we talked about tiny homes, and we got an amazing amount of emails. One from Rebecca, who has tiny homes, and then they rescue pony mules.
Yeah, that was the best text of my week, was when you brought our attention to that.
Yeah, follow Becca at The Holistic Hopeful on Instagram, and you can see pictures of the pony mules that she rescues. We also got emails from other tiny homeowners, including Lonnie, who I yelled at, because if you remember, I asked, if you have a tiny home and a big home, please fit your tiny home inside your big home and take a picture like a turducken.
Consolidation.
Lonnie has both and did neither.
Ugh, Lonnie, you had one job, girl.
So, or dude, I don't know if Lonnie's a dude or a woman, Lonnie, but regardless.
You let us down.
You let us down big time.
No, no, I'm still going. I'm feeling sassy. So even if Lonnie's a boy, girl, you let us down.
Yeah, girl, you let us down.
I'm still waiting for somebody who has a big Barbie house and a smaller Barbie house. To just make that photo happen. We didn't write specifics. We just said big house.
Barbie shoe for scale.
Good point. So yeah. So thanks to everyone who has a tiny home. And
we even got some offers of listeners who live in tiny homes for us to come and stay in their homes.
Which is really nice, but that's way too small.
That's Airbnb.
Nope, we're coming next week. Get ready. I like banana muffins.
Yeah. All right.
Let's onward.
Onward.
Okay.
So we have something serious to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an important time for this topic, and I think it's appropriate that we start with, none of us have degrees. We are not doctors. We're just people trying to do the best we can for as many people as possible, and we all, including the fourth mic, which is you listening, understand that discussing things is a super important part in treating anything.
Yeah, right. There have been some major suicides this week in the news, Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. And if this is a trigger for you, you might want to skip ahead about 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. But the point maybe of less. Us talking about this right now is we just...
It has to be talked about.
Trying to make it a more discussive space. We're not trying to make this like, let's sit down and make this a really heavy podcast. So maybe bear with us as long as you can, maybe.
Right.
Let's see what we do.
One thing is that the problem with suicide is that the more people who do it, it normalizes it.
Yeah.
And it can run in families. If someone in your family has died by suicide, it seems to have an effect and makes it more of an option. Yeah. And we just want to let you know that
you are loved.
You are loved. And if this is something that you are feeling like you want to do, there are a lot of resources for you. I know that the suicide prevention hotline is given out a lot, 1-800-273-8255.
And then, of course, always 911.
Yep.
If you're in need of immediate help.
And if you don't want to talk to someone and you don't feel like you're brave enough to make that phone call, that's okay. There's also a text line that you can text to, and that's the crisis text line. And their number is 741-741. And they say to text the word home. So just text HOME to the number 741-741. And you don't have to talk to somebody in person. You can text with them.
Yeah.
And if it's that also, feels braver.
There's, don't block out your friend options that you have, because I had a phone call, you know, with a good friend who's all good a couple years ago. And I told him, we're going to have one rule. We're not getting off the phone until we're both laughing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just people. He was shocked. He goes, why are you being so nice to me? Which is a weird thing to hear when it's a good friend of yours.
Yep.
Yeah. But the point of that is just you are underestimating the people that love you if you think you can't call them. And have that discussion at any hour for as long as you need.
Your brain is telling you right now that everyone would be better off without you. And it seems like a really logical thought, but your brain is wrong in this moment. So don't believe it.
Some of the people who came onto the news who were close with Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain, they said things like, I just talked to her last week, or he just emailed me and I didn't see it coming. So I went online and I thought, I actually don't know the signs of suicide, like what to look for specifically in somebody who might be at risk. And so I pulled up a list, and there's actually, there's a saying, what's it called when, Roy G. Biv is how you remember.
Like a mnemonic device?
A mnemonic device. The mnemonic device for suicide warning signs is PATH-WARM.
Okay.
And what it stands for is ideation, which is suicidal thoughts, substance abuse, purposelessness,
mm-hmm.
anxiety, trapped, hopelessness or helplessness, withdrawal, anger, recklessness, and mood changes.
Okay. Mm. So these are like things, unfortunately, that a lot of us do deal with regularly. I guess maybe pay attention to people you know when a lot of these things start to take hold at once. It's such a hard thing to look for, we know. So really, it's on the person who's experiencing it to try and recognize these things in themselves earlier.
Yeah, but they can't always.
But you can't always. Mm-hmm. I understand. But the, my friend in seventh grade was the first person I ever knew to take his own life. And it kind of got me in this weird obsession about psychology, and it was called abnormal psychology, which never really sat well with me because I thought it was pretty normal. It was just wasn't discussed a lot. But anyway, so I decided to minor in it because I couldn't handle majoring in it because I'm not that strong of a person. But
that doesn't mean you're not strong.
I couldn't do it for a living. Like, my sister's a licensed social worker and she's basically a superhero.
Yeah.
Like, I could not.
That job has a really short lifespan.
Yeah.
This is no pun intended, but you get worn out pretty quickly. Yeah.
I remember from one of my classes, two of these three things will add to it. So feeling like Bethany, you said it earlier, I don't belong, like loss of purpose. Mm-hmm. Everyone will be better off without me, mm-hmm. / no one will care anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one is pattern, as in they've self-harmed before.
People who develop risky behaviors or addictions or abusive behaviors.
So apparently, from what I was taught, two of the three of those is a huge alarm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's one thing too, people always say, like, they had a vacation planned, how could they do this, they had so much money, how could they do this, they had such a great life. The thing to understand, if you've never dealt with this or you haven't had anyone in your life with mental illness, it's like, yeah, they had a vacation planned, but if you're drowning, you're not thinking about your vacation next week. You're thinking, I'm drowning, mm-hmm. and I'm just trying to not die, or I'm trying to just not feel this bad. Like, if you were drowning in the middle of the ocean, you wouldn't be thinking about your vacation.
Yeah.
So it really is all encompassing, and it's not a logical thing, and that's so it's hard to understand it if you've never been in that position or had someone like that.
Like, it's an act of desperation, and it's in the now. And there are studies, and this part actually makes me a little bit happy, that there are studies of people who tried to commit suicide.
Actually,
and
can we change that? Can we say died by suicide? The language, they're trying to change that language because commit is usually used as far as a crime. Like, they committed murder, they committed a burglary.
Oh, good to
so,
know.
So, yeah, so died by suicide is what they're trying to change it to.
The people who attempted to die by suicide and didn't successfully carry out, I don't know how to phrase that delicately enough, but the study is the overwhelming percentage of people who talk about it now are so happy that it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that is, it's an in the moment thing. Picture, we've all had really crappy days. Don't think about your crappy day. Think about that moment in your day where you're like, I gotta go home, or this, I can't handle this right now. I feel like sobbing and I don't know why. That tiny little moment, which fluctuates in minutes, magnify that and then spread it throughout days. That's what it is. It's an inability to look forward. So you're not looking at your vacation because you're not looking forward. Mm-hmm. It's a now feeling moment.
You've withdrawn from logical thought.
Yeah.
And because you can't get air.
And it's not going to get your better.
Fault. Yeah. Well, it will if you get help.
In your mind. Yeah.
So one more thing, and then I promise we'll move on to happy stuff. So this is just for people right now who are in that place where they're worried that they're going to do something, or they think that that's an answer. So this might not be for you, even if this is for like one person who's in that headspace, but this is something that changed the way that I thought about suicide, because you guys know I have mental health issues. I wear the badge proudly. I think our brains work differently because they're awesome. Mm-hmm. But I've been in that place. And when I learned this and this occurred to me, it changed my life. So here, this is for you if you're in that place. think of someone in your life who you love deeply, maybe more than anyone else. Someone who, when you think about them, it maybe even brings tears to your eyes because you love them so much. And it doesn't have to be a romantic partner. It might be a sibling, a parent, your child, a best friend. They're that person that you do anything for. So now think about the extreme pain you're in right now. If that person was in this kind of pain and you could take it away from them and put it on yourself, you would do it, right? You would do anything to make sure that they didn't have to feel this level of sadness and hopelessness, even if it meant taking it on yourself. Then do it by not taking your life. Because if you kill yourself, you will instantly cause them this exact pain and sadness and hopelessness that you are feeling right now. You will be free of it, but you will have given it to them, to the person you love more than anything. So save them from it. Keep it on yourself because you are strong enough to bear this. You are brave enough to keep pushing on, and you are tough enough to push through until you find the help you need. Do it so that they don't have to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
That was great. Okay. And one more thing I just want to touch upon because I think it's important. If you know somebody who you think might be suicidal, you must ask them. And everything that I've read online says you must ask them directly. Don't be afraid to use the phrase suicidal because you need to address it head on with them because beating around the bush doesn't help anybody.
It's a great point, Kathleen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Address it with them immediately.
With non-judgmental answers.
Sure.
You know, not like, well, yes, other people have it so much worse. Oh, but your life is so good. It doesn't matter.
And if they're taken back like, oh my God, no, I would never do that, it might just make them look inward as to some of these behaviors that they've adapted and or adopted rather, and look at themselves a little bit more deeply and then seek help.
Yeah. Good. And if none of this spoke to you for the last few minutes and you still don't get it, no judgment on not being able to understand it. But at the end of the day, if you can't relate or don't know someone it happened to or something, it's important to know you don't understand.
Yeah. And then just like accept other people's situations with love.
Right. So that was important.
Let's talk about something happy. Let's I'm glad we else. Talked about it, but yes, let's talk about something happy. Can
absolutely.
I want to like a palate cleanser.
Sure. What can should we cleanse with?
I don't know.
With?
Can we like...
Do you mean literally? Like a food?
No.
Like in the Princess Diaries, the palate cleanser. Because
there's
is
a bakery in the area.
It's like a pear ice.
She didn't know it was frozen.
She didn't know it was frozen. And then everybody at the Genovian yes. Diver pretends that they have
to take a big scoop too.
Brain freeze.
So she doesn't look silly.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah, right.
Do you think Anne Hathaway listens to our podcast?
Yes.
If she doesn't, she's missing out
for sure.
I think Anne Hathaway was our palate cleanser.
Okay, perfect. Kathleen.
Yes.
Emails.
We have a listener email. It is our listener advice. Hey, we should make a jingle where we sing it.
Listener advice. Sing along with me because we all know all the lyrics, right?
Give me a note. Give me a note. Okay, go ahead.
Listener advice. Because we need advice. You are need advice. Just like me.
I all need advice. Pudding.
Unicorn.
You lost me.
Oh. Nailed it.
Okay. I was so ready to harmonize okay. that one.
So I'm not going to. Let's come up with a good name for this listener. We'll call her.
Jaina.
I like that.
All right, Jaina. She writes to us, hello, friends.
Hello.
I'm looking for some advice, and I'd love to hear your perspectives. I have a close friend who I believe is in a failing relationship. And while she wants to fix things with her boyfriend, I think she is just prolonging the inevitable. Mm. However, I know that she needs to come to this conclusion on her own, which I know because I've been in a similar situation of wanting to work things out so badly, but deep down, I know that they aren't going to work out. And I think this is a story that many of us can relate to. Anyway, my friend, let's call her Angela. She shares an apartment with her boyfriend. Let's call him Spencer. And while they're always together, they hardly do anything. They were first attracted to each other because they are both spontaneous and outdoorsy people. And Spencer has been blaming Angela for his depression that he's been experiencing. Recently, he has been online dating sites like Tinder, talking to other girls for fun.
Uh-huh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Angela has confronted him on this, but he mostly brushes it off, although he did say he wasn't sure if he would ever try to meet up with anyone. Now, I will readily admit that I have ignored some giant red flags in previous relationships, too, and Angela was always the one to tell me straight out that I deserve better, and while I've tried to express the same sentiments to her, she's holding out for little things to change. But from this experience, I know that they won't. It's already been almost 2 months since things hit rock bottom for Angela and Spencer, and little has improved. I want her to be happy. I want her to be strong enough to leave him. I know this relationship cannot last. So to me, it makes more sense for them to break up now so she can find happiness again sooner. But I don't know what to do or what to say to help her figure that out for herself. And I think the only glue holding this relationship together is the fact that they would have to deal with breaking their apartment lease and moving out if they break up. Any suggestions? I trust your judgment. And also, will you come up with a cool alias for me? Thank you in advance.
Oh, she wanted a really cool alias. Yeah. Oh, I feel like Gina didn't do
Stardust
that.
Child. Stardust Child.
Yeah,
thank you, Stardust Child. She knows the answer.
Yeah.
She knows the answer. Stardust knows.
So did Stardust, remind me, did Stardust already say something to her friend that this is failing or no?
She said she's been trying to pass off the same sentiment, but it sounds like it's not clicking.
Okay. All right, Stardust.
She needs us to help her be more direct.
No, I don't think
necessarily.
It's going to work. Listen, she is going to get mad at you.
Yes.
She's not going to get mad at her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that the best thing, I think that's my opinion, the best thing you can do is to be ready to hold her up when she falls.
Yep.
But in the meantime, you can't change it, because think if the tables were turned really and someone was like, your boyfriend is the worst, you would probably be like, nuh-uh, I love him and our love is special.
Right. And you don't know because you're not in it.
Right, exactly. You're not, 9 times out of 10, the person isn't going to end a relationship just because other people see that it's bad.
I would write her a letter. If I were Stardust, I would write Angela a letter. And I might not give it to her digitally. I might print it out and hand it to her in person so she has to read your feelings in front of you.
Okay.
Because when you send something to someone digitally, chances are that they're not in the right headspace to read it at that moment, or they're sitting next to significant other at that moment.
Or they're like at Target.
Or they're at Target or
Target
at work.
Target is always the right moment.
And they don't read it through completely and give it the attention that it needs. I would set a date to hang out with her, take her to a cafe, get a coffee, get a cocktail, print it out and give it to her that way.
Okay. Well, if Stardust, if you do want to do that, can my suggestion is we use language that's directed to and about your friend Angela and not Spencer.
Yeah.
So the kind of language you want to use, whether you write or say it, is you deserve someone who makes you feel like blank, 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 and holds you up on a pedestal and treats you like this, this, and doesn't make you wonder how often you're addressing Angela in all this. Mm. Not he doesn't make you feel blank. He doesn't treat you as you deserve to be treated. He doesn't blank. Because depending on her headspace or how she feels in her heart, that's going to turn her off to you. Mm-hmm. And you don't want her to be angry at you, because you might be dead on that this relationship is going to end soon because it has to, but that doesn't mean you guys are just going to be okay afterwards. So if she's resentful of you for how you handle this, or doesn't want to believe you, or all the things that are really possible, you're going to be in friendship trouble. So however you do take it, make sure you use like love language and you're talking to and about her for her benefit, and not like sassy, I don't like him language.
That's
good.
That makes a lot of sense.
I'm sort of going through this right now. I have a friend who is single. She's had some really terrible breakups over the past 3 years. And she's going out on these dates. And I don't think she's going out on the dates for the right reason.
Why do you think she's going out on them?
For validation.
Okay.
As opposed to actually looking for a life partner, which is her ultimate goal, finding love, getting married. And I said to her straight up the other day, and maybe it wasn't the best time for me to say it to her, because she was telling me about a truly heinous date she went on. And I said, I'm going to say something that you're not going to like.
At least you braced her.
And I said, I don't think you're going on these dates for the right reasons. I think you're going on these dates for validation, and finding a life partner, somebody that loves you for who you are, you shouldn't need to have to look to them for validation because you need to be okay with who you are in front of them. And I said, you should take some time off from dating.
Yeah.
To which she said, I know you're not wrong, but right now all I need is a hug.
Oh, gosh.
My goodness.
So I feel Stardust, what is her name again?
Stardust Child.
Stardust Child's pain, because this friend probably knows that Stardust is right.
Yeah.
But yeah. Sometimes you just need a hug.
You need to get to the breaking point, I think. And everyone's breaking point is different. So Stardust knows when Angela did this for her and it made sense. But it sounds like Stardust's breaking point is different from Angela's. Like, my mom's really good friend growing up, Pam, she's the sweetest woman ever, was married and she was pregnant with my friend Francesca, and he stopped sleeping with her. The husband stopped having sex with her, and at first she's like, oh, he's just scared because I have the baby and you don't want to poke the baby, whatever. Sure, all these nutty things.
You think you'd poke the baby,
right? Because you'd be so lucky
your
to poke your baby.
It's not that big.
Thank you, Kathleen. And
Kathleen's like,
we want to be clinical about it.
If you turn on the subtitles at the bottom of Netflix, that was Kathleen.
Kathleen will voice their any innuendo you want her to.
You don't have a big penis.
It's because your penis is small.
And everyone was saying, you have to leave. You have to leave because, you know, he doesn't find you attractive anymore. He isn't. He was acting and everyone was correct. And then in her 9th month of pregnancy, he said to her, because she made him address it, you're just not this sexy woman to me anymore. You're a mom now.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, bring him over to my house for a
vomit
second.
Vomit break. Ugh. And then she knew she had a breaking point. And my mom said she was not trying to get her to leave him because she goes, Sam, what was I gonna do?
Yeah,
she needed to, everyone knew what was coming. Yeah. He just needed to get them there.
Ugh. You know, for most people, the being on Tinder and talking to other girls for fun would be a breaking point. I have a friend who was with a guy and she was living with him, and she told me once before they broke up, she caught him on like dating apps, mm-hmm. and it wasn't a breaking point for her. She just made him promise to never do it again.
I found my ex on one too.
Yeah.
And he said to my friend, I just do it when I'm on the toilet, like when I'm pooping.
That's me with like the game Candy Crush. It's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. No, but it's, you know, if you, and they live together, so that's really tough too, because moving out is just a pain in the butt. I think the mental gymnastics that you will do is epic to survive. We've all done it. Yeah. I did it, you know?
I mean,
it's bad, and you just are like, well, this is fine for this reason, and it's how you survive. But yeah.
I don't think it's uncommon for some couples to stay together just until their lease is over.
Yeah, right.
That's why I'm afraid to ever live with someone before I'm engaged.
No,
don't do it. No, don't do it.
Really?
It's the
really?
Worst. Don't do it.
Right? Like I'm really scared to do it. I'm more open to it than I have been in the past. But that petrifies me. Is one of us really mess up and we deserve a clean breakup and we can't do it because one of us is in love with the apartment. I saw the movie The Breakup. I know what's up, Jennifer Aniston.
It's like, the worst.
It makes it so much messier. It's such a big thing to have to worry about. You are a special case, Kathleen, because you lived with your husband before he was even your bae.
Yes.
Yeah. But when we officially moved in and got our own place together, I think we lived together for 6 months before we got engaged. And those 6 months were the hardest months of my life.
Why?
Because it's adjusting living with somebody and your schedules and how you wash the dishes and the way you collect your laundry. And there's a huge adjustment period. I think when you move in with somebody, if you can get through the first 6 months, you'll be okay. But being engaged on top of that, I think it would have. I would have.
Oh, slipped. You're saying that's too much for me?
I would have slipped through the cracks. I don't know if I would have been able to deal with that pressure.
Wow.
Okay, so maybe you have to know that this is like, you need to have already shopped for the engagement ring.
Yeah, and then move in with each other.
That's fair.
And then you get engaged like a few months later. Yeah. But, you know, my timeline is the best timeline. No, JK. this is a hard one.
I hope this was helpful to you. Keep us posted, Star Child Bright Lens.
Don't be angry.
What if you approach us like a lawyer? And you dressed in a suit.
Okay.
And you wrote both, if Stardust Child wrote both sides of the case.
Uh-huh.
The defense and the, what's the other side?
Prosecution.
The prosecution. And then presented it that way to her friend, and then her friend might come to her own conclusion on her own.
But can you have to bring a little gavel? Because the friend has to
Yeah.
When it's
yeah.
all done.
So she could be the judge and the defense and the prosecution all in one.
Yes.
Brilliant.
And then it could turn into a one woman show.
Perfect.
That actually might be yeah. kind of funny.
That or would be a great one woman yeah, show.
That'd be good.
I'd consider hiring a barbershop quartet, like a songogram. Mm. Like open the door. Bum, 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 your boyfriend sucks and you want him out of here. But you can't because your lease is not up till next year. That's all I got. I got one rhyme and I'm out.
Wait, fun fact about barbershop quartets. Yes. You know the movie Runaway Bride?
Okay.
My friend Megan, her grandfather, is in the barbershop quartet that appears multiple times in the movie Runaway Bride.
Of course.
And he made a lot of money doing
Did he?
That.
Really? Yes.
And it was just because it was filmed in Maryland and he was like the closest barbershop quartet to like filming location.
I feel like he's probably the closest barbershop quartet to most filming locations, because how many are there?
I think we're wrong about that. I think there's a lot of barbershop
there's
quartets
like an
out there.
like the movie Step Up. There's like an underground barbershop quartet dancing.
They meet at night.
Yeah, we don't really know about it yet.
If you're in a barbershop quartet, send us a tweet at Acquired Podcast
or send us a video
at Acquired Podcast.
Can we form our own barbershop trio?
Definitely.
No. Do you remember how long it took us to learn the Santa baby thing that we had to do for work like a couple
years
ago?
Wow, no, I suppressed that.
That took a long time. Oh, not to say no to everything, but that took a long time.
It wasn't Santa baby. It was
Yes,
the,
it was. It was Santa was? Baby.
No, it was Jingle Bell Rock.
Jingle Bell Rock!
That's right.
Anyway. That's right.
Because we wanted to be like Mean Girls.
Yeah.
Did it work?
Yeah, we were.
Hashtag really one degree closer to Lohan.
Yeah. It didn't.
Damn it.
We're going to take a second. Just sit right there. We'll tell you why we love our Luna Bluetooth wireless nightlight speaker from Illuminate Magic.
Aww. This guy's awesome.
We love it. So it's a portable speaker. It's about the size of a large pillar candle, one of those short It's like wide a, ones.
Yeah.
And
the girthy guys.
Yeah, the girthy guys. And it plays your music or your podcast, but it also is a great night light. If you use like the white light, you can have it in three different brightnesses, or it has colors.
Yes.
And the best part is that 10% of the sales are donated to the McLean's Children Medical Center in Temple, Texas. I love that.
Yep, absolutely incredible. It's a good product that does good things for people, which is the best part. So, like we said, it's a Bluetooth speaker, so you could just use it for your little audio stuff. You could be listening to this pod. First of all, if you're listening to us right now on the speaker because you bought it already, send us a little video.
Yeah, we want to see it.
Tag us on Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast, because that's amazing. And you can link over to our Instagram. We got the info for purchase right there.
Yep, use the code ACQUIRED. That's ACQUIRED to get 15% off. That's acquired for 15% off. Go to illuminatemagic.com.
All right. Well, since we're on the subject and we love to get to our listeners' emails as often as possible, we got one more that kind of fits with the whole kaboosh. Give me a really cool alias name. What should we name her?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Bryce Dallas Howard. Thanks for listening, girl. So Bryce Dallas Howard tells us that she...
Not the IMDb Bryce Dallas Howard, different one.
It's her first name. Her first name is Bryce Dallas Howard.
Last name probably Smith.
Yeah.
So BDH says her problem is her friend is dating this guy who says he's currently separated and is going to get a divorce. Ooh. The only problem is... her and so many other people that they work with don't believe they're actually separated. His wife has pictures of the two of them on Facebook, which he says is because she's crazy and can't admit it's over. First of all, if a guy says crazy about a woman,
bye.
Warning sign.
Because it's usually he's the one who made her crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. Keep Not going.
Kind. I hate that as a description word.
Yeah, I found that anyone who describes their ex as crazy is using that to not tell you why they acted really inappropriately.
Yeah. Crazy it's, cool, maybe.
Well, it's usually like, she went crazy because I never texted her back even though we were dating, and I just ghosted her and she was asking why and where I went, but she was driving me nuts. So I'm just going to call her crazy.
Yeah. A guy I was dating told me the other girl he was dating was crazy
mm-hmm.
because she knew it was an open relationship and thought she had a VD and asked him to look. And he goes, she's crazy. She wants me to look. I'm like, no. She thought you gave her something.
Yeah.
But she's okay. crazy.
So anyway, I'm already out, but continue.
He doesn't have a Facebook, which I find quote unquote convenient. Hmm. He is currently on deployment in a different city, so the time they can see each other is limited. But before that, when they did live locally, he saw my friends maybe once a week, if that, after a year of dating, which he managed to not show up for on their anniversary and did not even call, and somehow explains it away, as he does with so many other plans they make. He would frequently go MIA and always has the perfect excuses as to why, and manages to convince my friend she has nothing to worry about.
No.
Great. Okay. This goes on, but I don't like him.
The fact that, so am I correct in hearing that the woman who's dating the married guy, their coworkers also don't believe that he's divorced?
So Bryce Dallas Howard used to work with her good friends.
Okay.
So they don't believe, but Bryce Dallas Howard or her good friend, one of them no longer work there anymore.
So I'm just wondering, like, how much does the rest of the office know about this relationship? Because that's also a big problem. There's so many problems. I don't think you can get your friend. I think it's, again, you can't convince your friend not to be in this relationship. True. But she's, or he, whatever, whoever is dating this guy is about to get burned.
This
dude's a tool.
I'm going to disagree, because I think you can convince this friend that this guy is not a good fit, because she doesn't live with him. The stakes are not as high as somebody that you've actually exclusively been with for a very long time. And they don't see each other. This guy's deployed.
But they've been together for a year.
Well, this is a fun,
but she doesn't get to see him all that often.
Yeah. She goes, I frequently have thoughts of messaging the wife and asking her flat out to fill me in.
I would do it.
I think of creating a fake Facebook profile and trying to figure it out, or something. But am I just projecting my past sucky relationships on her? By the way, I'm now in a loving relationship. Oh, that's good. We're happy for you, Bryce Dallas Howard. The first question is, how furious would the friend be if and when it got back to her?
Mm-hmm.
Because if she would end your friendship right then and there, maybe that's something good to keep into account. But if she's like, if it's revocable after that, maybe it is an option.
Would you guys do it?
Yeah. Old Bethany wouldn't. Old Bethany would say, like, stay out of it. Your friend's going to end up hating you. But older, wiser Bethany would want to know if my husband was cheating on me.
Yes.
So I would be like, yeah, create the fake Facebook account. And yeah. Reach out, because it's not your business. But guess what? Two women are being screwed over. And I would absolutely be furious if I found out that my husband was dating someone else and a bunch of people knew and no one told me.
Yeah, I did. I did the reach out thing when that guy who called the girl crazy because he was dating a few of us at once.
Yeah.
The VD one.
Yeah.
He didn't have one, by the way. I'm fine. I got the information of the other girl he was dating from the bartender.
Yeah.
And we ended up chatting on Facebook and then on the phone.
Saved you a lot of time, didn't it?
It did. Thankfully, she was cool. She could have been crazy, but I needed to know.
Yeah, got to know. And don't put yourself in any harm's way, obviously. But listen, this is bad news.
I got it. This is how you do it.
Go, girl.
You create the fake account.
Yes.
To ask the wife. Then you take all the screenshots, and the fake account should not have any, like, don't give it away that it's you, because it seems like multiple people know about this relationship and a lot of people have doubts.
True.
Put it, print it out, the screenshot, put it in a letter and email it to, or mail it, snail mail to your friend.
She's going to want to know who it is, though.
So you don't have to tell her.
No, I know you don't have to tell her, but you're going to put her into a long time of like pain, like, how did this
happen?
She's
already in a long lifetime of pain.
The only reason
yes,
I would say...
Yes, but your best friend didn't put that on you.
The only reason I would say not to mail it, snail mail it, because then she's going to have this panic of, who knows my address? Am I in danger? That's where my head would go. Like, do I have a stalker or am I in danger? Is someone mad at me?
So what if you make a fake email account with this fake alter ego that you emailed the wife with and then email it to your friend?
You just got to be okay with knowing you lied to your good friend for a long time, which I could not sit with.
Okay.
You're not lying.
She's going to ask you, your good friend. She's going to be like, oh my God, someone did this, that, and the other thing. And you're going to have to be like, oh, what?
I would lie. I would do that.
I couldn't.
I would do it for sure. I've become also sneaky, Bethany.
Okay.
And I think that in standing up for all women and trying to support each other, and also, you know, supporting men who might be potentially dating a bad dude or whatever, I would want to make sure it was why I would lie a little bit.
I'd be a little sneaky, Bethany.
I tell her it was me.
Yeah, I would do the Facebook thing, but I would tell her because I would feel badly about lying about
only
it.
When she asked.
Sure.
I would send it to her anonymously, let her process it, realizes that she has a lot of friends who love her, and then I would tell her it was me, only if she asked.
So sure. She would have to say, Kathleen, was it you?
Yes. And I would say, yes, it was.
But if she was just like, oh, I got this email and, oh, it sounds horrible. I wonder what to do. Do you want wine? You wouldn't be like, I did it. You would be like, oh, my goodness gracious, and then ask for wine.
No, I would be like, I think I know what this is about. Let's get some wine.
And yes, then you would, so and then you Kathleen would share. Gets both. She gets the wine and then the honesty.
Okay, if you're in a relationship with somebody and it doesn't matter who you're dating and that person is like, I'm married, but I'm getting ready to leave significant other, that's a huge red flag right off the bat.
It
like,
is.
No, 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 no. And also, I don't think I trust anybody who doesn't have any social media.
Agreed. I am the same way.
It's harder to stalk people.
I think you're hiding things on purpose. I agree. They're never leaving their partner.
No, they're never.
FYI, if you're currently dating someone who's married, they're not going to leave their partner.
Even if they do, look at the pattern of human you're hitching your cart to.
Yeah.
People cheat not because they're looking for new life partners. They cheat because they're bored or they're assholes. Or just because it's fun.
Mm-hmm. It could be in their character. I feel like that's definitely the majority. Like there has to be. I feel bad speaking to everyone. So sorry if you've had one horrible point in your life and you've reformed. Yeah. But for the most part.
Yeah.
Seldom does that happen.
Yes.
Yes. Some people are just addicted to getting attention from others and that's why they cheat.
I was listening to a podcast where there was this guy who went on Tinder, whatever, created a profile, and he typically dated between 5 and 10 women at once. And it wasn't just like going on dates. It was each woman thought they were in a relationship.
Okay.
And one woman said that she was in the first wave, and she called them generations. She was in the first generation of women. And then the next time he did it, she was aware of it. And then the next time he did it, she was aware of it. And so they started like reaching out to each other to warn each other, and finally created an account with his face and his name on the same dating site saying, warning, this dude is a cheat. Don't date him. And
women.
Yeah. And women reached out and said, thank you. I almost dated him.
Go girls.
Yeah. It's on the podcast Reply All at like one of the first episodes. It's really interesting.
I wonder if that's the guy with the theoretical VD.
This is tough.
I'll look into it.
I just dating anybody who's married I could never.
You don't, yeah, it's not going to end well for you. It's not going to end well for them, and it's not going to end well for the spouse. It just is not going to end well. If he's unhappy or she's whoever's married is unhappy, it's time for them to get out.
My gosh, this has been an all over the place episode.
Would you guys date somebody who is married if all you were looking for was a torrid love affair?
I mean, yeah, because then that's all I would need. Oh, wait, would I date them if they were married? Like, not separated?
Yeah.
And oh, so they're cheating?
You wouldn't.
No. Separated, like, because then I'm not worried about the I'm going to leave my wife kind of thing. Like, stay separated as long as you want. Don't leave each other. I just want sex. That's fine.
Bethany, all you're looking for is a torrid love affair.
No, because I see now, like, what it does to people.
Yeah.
I wonder how young this girl is too, because, you know, when you're like in your early 20s, you don't fully realize what people's lives look like on the other end. And, and you don't fully realize all the damage you can be doing.
I'm going to add one more layer.
Would you do it, Kathleen?
No. Because I would end up falling in love with a married person.
Yeah, for sure.
Reasons be damned.
I can't
that's the right
separate
answer.
My physical pleasure from my emotional well-being like that. But there's one more layer to this, and it's just something interesting I've learned recently. It is not uncommon for people to take photos of men who are deployed, men and women who are deployed overseas serving the United States military. And catfish people with those photos because there's a romanticism to being overseas and being deployed and serving our country. And it's like a pretty often thing where profiles are made that people use to make love interests with others, and then they get money out of them.
Oh my goodness. So they'll just like find a picture of a soldier.
Yeah.
Use that as a profile. And
send me money
oh
so I can get home to you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
It takes all kinds of people in this
like
world.
It's like a growing trend right now, which is very sad.
And
awful.
And you guys ask me why I don't date.
Just
this is why
I've been asking you less and less. In fairness,
this is why.
The more I learn, the more of these listener emails about dating I read.
This reply all episode. The girl was like, we were in a relationship. I think it was like 6 months. He went couch shopping with her and was like, we need to find a couch that's wide enough so we can spoon together on it. And like was being wonderful and sweet and amazing with like five other people at the same time.
Oh my God.
So even like the good ones are so
even
bad.
Even the great ones are awful. He was one of the good ones. Yes, he was a professional good one.
Wait, did I tell you guys? I may have already mentioned this when I went to my therapist and she said, why aren't you dating?
Yes.
And then she was like, not all men cheat.
Yes.
And she said, I have a husband. And I said, I'm sorry. He's probably cheating on you.
No.
You said that. You did say that. You said that, and you were you found it funnier than anyone else in the room.
He's not cheating on her.
I was like, I'm really. And she goes, are you mad? And what do you feel? I said, I'm just scared for you, because when it comes falling down, I'm worried for you.
Did you trade places?
She burst out laughing. She's like, it's fine. I said, okay. But I'm just scared for you.
But it's not.
And then she wrote down on her notepad, did not crack her yet. Still more
still
work.
Got some stuff to work on under that hood.
What'd you learn this week, Sam?
So much about us. So much about us. What did I learn this week? Okay. I learned that Nike was right. Just do it. And I hate being the person to say that. It's so cheesy, but it's so true.
Marketing works.
Marketing works. I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm fine. I'm not the best place I've ever been in emotionally and mentally. And
yeah, you're going through some stuff.
I'm going through stuff, and we're not going to touch on that. My family and my relationship is safe. It's
well,
not that.
As far as you know.
Not if you ask Bethany.
I told you.
Not if you ask Bethany.
I told you that just...
So apart from not being in my good space... I was in such a bad mood today, and in such a bad mood, I mean, the conversation I was having, I was half crack, like your voice is cracking, like you're about to cry. Like I was walking the tightrope for 20 minutes and I got to my apartment. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm hungry. So I'm going to eat something. But then I realized if I just eat something, that means TV and couch, and that's going to relax me and make me potentially cry. I don't run. I've run once in the past 365 days, and I put on my sneakers and I went for a quick like 20 minute run before I had my lunch, and I didn't cry yet today, so I guess that means it worked. I'm not saying like, hey, put on your go for a workout when you're feeling blue. No, I just had to make myself do it.
Yeah,
that I just had to do it.
You had to do something,
and
yeah,
it helped.
Yes, good.
Bethany used to be a runner.
I tried.
And you talked about a few times actually hitting that runner's high.
Yeah, it happened, I think, once.
Really?
It was amazing.
Was it because of a speed or a distance?
It was. I had been doing it for a certain amount of time. Like, okay. It was like I hit 20 minutes, I think, of running consistently.
Yeah.
And then I suddenly wasn't aware of my body. I was just sort of looking at the world around me without being in tremendous pain because I was running.
Amazing.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anything, it's like I had a boss who used to say motion creates emotion. So like if you want to feel better, move.
Oh, I love that.
I know.
Motion just do it. Motion creates emotion.
Yep.
I love it.
So that's good. Fantastic.
Did you hit your runner's high today, Sam?
I don't think I did, but I did scare a couple pigeons. That's my accomplishment for my job.
That's all right.
What did you guys learn? Who wants to go next?
I learned that your parents are human, and to live a full adult life, you must forgive them for everything that happened in your childhood that you blame them for.
Oh, man. Dear.
And you must just see them as beings who need love and acceptance and who make mistakes. I got a sort of like an eye opener this weekend. My mom was away for the weekend and I was taking care of my dad, and he basically needs full-time care at this point. Mm-hmm. He's pretty sick, and I'm not going to get into it, but he has a whole slew of things that are wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the doctor with him. I had to take him to a doctor's appointment, and I went into the room with him and I panicked for a second. And you know, when you're sort of representing someone medically and the doctor's like, okay, well, can you take off your shirt and this and that? I'm like, oh, I'm going to leave. Yeah. And I didn't because I had to help my dad with these things.
Yeah.
And seeing him like that, you know, helping him get his shoes and socks off and helping him get his shirt off so the doctor could examine him. It was eye opening. Mm. And I really feel for people who do this all the time, who are only children who have to take care of parents.
Yeah.
And who have, or parents who have children that need full time care like this. It is so hard. And I had it for just 4 days.
Mm. Yeah.
And so if there are two parts to this, one, forgive your parents. They're just humans who make mistakes and need love and care. And number two, if you know somebody who's a caregiver, like has a full-time job and then goes home and takes care of somebody else too, make them a meal this week. Just drop it off at their house, a plate of lasagna. Aww. Or something.
Yeah.
Or give them a Seamless gift card or something, right?
Yeah.
Because they're tired. They're really tired, and they wake up every day and there's no vacation.
Wow. Yeah. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
You take care of other people. You kind of, you don't want to take care of yourself. Yeah. It's hard to.
Stop sending gift baskets to people who have died. They don't deserve it. Or people who have babies. They don't deserve it either. I'm just joking. But remember the caregivers in your life, because they are going through exactly what people with newborns and people who have lost loved ones as well. It's all the same.
That's huge, Kathleen. Thank you for that.
I'm sorry you had that weekend, but I'm glad you had that weekend.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, good. Well,
eye-opening, right?
Yeah.
We all brings you back down to earth. Put your heels on the ground.
That is a heavy bit of lasagna.
So, Bethany,
what did you learn this week?
I also learned a couple of things that sort of go hand in hand. One of them feeds into the other. So I had an aerial class again this weekend, and my instructor is working with me on strengthening certain parts of my torso and my legs.
Wait, so just in case anybody doesn't know what aerial is.
Oh, it's like, it's basically doing gymnastics, but up in the air attached to fabric. So it's like silks, they call it. There's a version called aerial yoga that's more of a yoga thing. This is more of a gymnastics thing. Mm-hmm. But it's up in the air and you're twisting around and you're in a lot of pain and it's good. But so I'm working on my center split and getting stronger in my core. And my teacher is amazing and she is working with me on trying to do that. And there are certain exercises that I'm not strong enough to do yet in order to strengthen that part.
Gotcha.
And so she kept thinking to herself, should we do this? Should we do this one? Okay, f*** it. And so I've decided that my new slogan is okay, f*** it, but it's okay, !! F*** it. As in, we're going to do this.
Okay.
Doesn't matter how it turns out.
Love
and
it.
And I feel like that is a really good slogan for your life, because leading into the second thing I learned, I've gotten a lot of emails from Acquired Taste listeners who have said, how do I take control of my life, or how do I live the most fulfilling life I can? Mm-hmm. How do I live a life with joy? We also got one where it's like, I'm in a job that I hate. How do I live a joyful life while I'm in this job I hate? I think, okay, f*** it means take the risks that you're probably ready to take, but you might not be, but you might as well take them.
Yep.
And the other one is, okay, you're in a job you hate. F*** it. Enjoy the job. Be the kindest person you can be. Be the most professional person you can be. Dress better than the job you have. You don't love your job? Okay. Be happy today in this moment, because someone's going to find you as a happy person, and that's going to be your next job.
I love that.
And I really like it. So that's what I learned this
week. You must get that tattooed underneath your eyes like Post Malone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Someone made a bad choice this week.
Duda.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Follow us all on our personal socials. Sam, what are you?
Sam_ROSALIE.
On everything. Kathleen.
Webgirl Kathleen on everything.
I'm Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram and Facebook. I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter. You can also follow the podcast, Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
And where else are we?
Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook also.
Yes, the Facebook.
We are P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030. And if you can, we would really appreciate it if you could go on iTunes or wherever you listen to us, rate, review, subscribe. It really helps them kind of push us up the ranks and helps more people find us. And we're really working on that.
And get a trophy, I heard.
Ooh,
that would be nice. That's a lie.
And maybe if this episode, especially the earlier part, speaks to someone in your life, maybe send it someone's way.
Yeah.
This is one of those hopefully more useful ones than the past we've had.
Yeah. Right now is just a time to sort of build each other up. So whatever you can do to do that would be great. And we appreciate you, and we love you, and we will talk to you next week.